I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. Well, have we got a show in store for you tonight. Of all the years I've been doing ET Yoga, this might be the biggest mind blower of them all. We're going to be talking about new science in the area of the Merkaba vehicle being fractalized throughout the universe. We're going to be talking about timelines. We're going to be talking about 5G. And maybe the biggest mind-boggler of them all, the real truth and stuff about the Mandela Effect. But before we get into all of that, I'd like to start the program in the usual manner, where we have a little bit of Japa Yoga, kind of sets the tone, connects us with universal energies, and that'll be some Japa Yoga meditation mantra led by Sri Swami Satchidananda. So if the guys in the booth would play that short clip now, much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari Hari Om.
Hari.
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
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 Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Hari Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari
Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Om
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda and Shanti, meaning peace. And that's a clip from back in the 1970s. Swami Satchidananda was the founder of the Integral Yoga Institute, one of my spiritual teachers. And as far as I'm concerned, he does the best version of that I've ever heard. And I love to start off my programs with that because, first off, Om is the first and foremost of all mantras. It's the sound of cosmic energy, and it contains all the sounds in itself. The spiritual efficacy of Om is heard not by the ears but by the heart, and it surcharges the innermost being of a person with vibrations of the highest reality. All galaxies, including ours, are rotating, and the sound they make is Om. And the Anaswaram, the nasal sound, that humming, boosts the production of nitric oxide in the body, and this was known to Indians and documented more than 7,000 years ago. Om also opens up the quantum tunneling where the wormholes do not have a restriction of speed of light, and the secrets of this universe are contained in energy, frequency, and vibration. And if you make the sound Om in front of a drop of liquid, it will transform itself into a Sri Yantra, which is a very specific visual form, which is symmetrical and also holographic, in that every bit of it contains all of it. And the Sri Yantra was revealed to Maharishis with 12-strand DNA and king-sized pineal glands more than 8,000 BC. And I might add that for many people, meditating with mantras is a very effective form of meditation, and for others, seem more inclined towards the yantras or the visual symbols. And the Sri Yantra is called the King of Yantras, and that's S-R-I-Y-N-T-R-A, Sri Yantra. And basically, what it is, it's a tetrahedron. And I highly suggest that you go online at some point and get yourself a visual symbol of two counter-rotating tetrahedrons, because that's what activates your Merkaba field. And I was absolutely astounded this week to come across information from David Wilcock that all photons are tetrahedral Merkabas. So they're talking about the original photon, and they now have given it a name. It's called the amplitahedron. That's amplituhedron, and or the first photon, amplitahedron. And what we know about the universe is that the universe is holographic, and it's also fractal. And what is it, the fractal of? Photons. And these photons are tetrahedral Merkabas. So the octahedron hides inside the tetrahedron. And basically, the fractalizing octahedron creates the universe. So in the beginning of this creation, there was the sound and there was the light, and the light was the photon, and the photon is the Merkaba vehicle and the Merkaba shape. So to me, this is so ties in with all the yogic teachings about why the Sri Yantra and why the Merkaba meditation. It's all connecting with the highest energies in the universe. And I was so excited to hear about that. Now, at this point in time, I guess I should give my usual disclaimer in case I give too many hot tips on how to heal yourself. This program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consent with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET yoga, then you should know that I applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical and big pharma as much as humanly possible. And I might add, I have distanced myself for the last 3 decades. And I will never take a pill, period. And first off, all pills have nanoparticles in them, and they all have side effects. And I also have been around the block long enough to know that you can find a natural ingredient, a herb, a plant, something that used in the proper quantity, that will do the same thing as that pill you're doing, only better. It won't give you a side effect. And I appreciate that everybody's in a different position with respect to the medical, their condition, etc. However, what people have grown to do is just throw their power away to the medical authorities where they're being severely abused, especially in the areas of cancer treatments. And I can go on and on. The vaccines, I don't even want to go there. But I can tell you this much, that it behooves you to distance yourself. Sooner or later, that system will mess you up. Sooner or later. And that's my opinion. Now, with back to respect to the Merkaba. The Merkaba obviously is not a requirement for ascension, but rather a symptom or a result of ascension. The Merkaba activates on its own as a result of a shift in consciousness. The Merkaba becoming alive is a reflection of the fact that one has developed a pattern of consciousness which enables their perspective or their focal point to be unrestricted by the limits of vibrational density of the physical dimension or third density. And as Bashar says, explore with it if you wish. It's up to you. Or use this idea by imagining it, and that's imagining that counter-rotating tetrahedrons. Because it's the counter-rotating tetrahedrons that, when they rotate in a balanced way, past the speed of light, what's inside of it moves to the next dimension. That's the whole thing. That's why it's called, the chariot of the gods. And by imagining it simply in your imagination and play with what that shape does when you get it in your mind's eye in terms of opening you up to other levels of communication as well, because you can use it that way too. If you also do it in your mind and you see that shape in your mind, if you can also learn to view of it three-dimensionally and start turning it and rotating it in your mind and see it in different angles, that will absolutely heighten and increase your ability to tap into other dimensional frequencies as well. And to me, according to Bashar, all tools and all techniques, all rituals, all objects are nothing but permission slips. They're not doing anything for you by themselves. They're a vibratory resonance that symbolically depicts and symbolically reflects the state of the belief system within you at the present, and that by that reflection will allow you to give yourself permission to be more of who you are. And to me, I don't think I'm going to have time to go into the actual technique of the Merkaba meditation, but you can look that up yourself or, give or take some shows. We'll be doing the Merkaba technique again from time to time because it's that important. And when you think about the whole universe being full of photons, full of octahedrons and Merkabas fractalizing, I mean, this is like, to me, wow. That's just a big wow. And I hope you found it that way as well. Now, talking about ET Yoga, I'd like to first give my gratitude, thanks, and appreciation to the ET Yoga listening audience because it's so wonderful to know that there are like thousands of people out there that can resonate with the kind of information that I try to provide on this program. And basically, what's it all about, ET Yoga, for those of you that are new, and I know I've got lots of new people. Well, how did ET and yoga get together? Because a lot of people say, well, how can you do yoga on the radio? Well, the word yoga means union. Union of what? It's union of you and your higher self. ET Yoga is about self-realization or that union. Now, you can call the spirit, you can call it anything you want. Like Sri Swami Satchitananda used to say, as many minds as many gods. The infinite is infinite. If it could be defined, then there'd be a definition for it. It can't be defined. It takes the shape of each mind. So it's like taking a cup to the ocean. You fill the cup with the water and it takes the shape of the cup. So if you want to call the infinite your personal God, you want to call it all that is, you want to call it cosmic consciousness, you want to call it higher self, call it whatever it is. It's beyond the space-time continuum. It's in an energy field that will never end. It was never created. It just is. And that manifestation that we call this universe is holographic, functions much like a reality computer program. It is based in consciousness. We know it's also fractal, and now we're learning that that fractal contains the geometry of the universe, which is the octahedron and the tetrahedron. And also, Ontology of consciousness has a language of interpretation, like any computer program. And the language of interpretation of the universe is belief. So in essence, what you believe is. And what I found a long time ago was when I started researching extraterrestrial information from back in the 1970s, from the Seth material to Jane Roberts to Bashar to Barbara Marciniak and Bringers of the Dawn, these kinds of people, the raw material, all this information cross-correlates. And it's just it's the birthing of a new way of thinking to my mind. In other words, in all the yoga teachings, okay, I never came across the idea that there were 12 chakras. It was always the idea of 7 chakras. I didn't come across the idea of reality creation and self-empowerment to the extent that I have found information with varying extraterrestrial species, such as the Sirians, the Andromedans, the Pleiadians, the Arcturians, and even the Esasani, who are now the Shekhani because they've moved up a dimension. And that's Bashar's civilization. And I found that there's so much self-empowering information that pretty much centers around the concept that thought creates or belief creates. And what you come to find out is that the world that you experience in 3D is a result of your beliefs, your intentions, your emotions, your expectations, definitions. These are the things that create your outer reality, because you can't experience anything in 3D reality unless you're a frequency match for it. So it all comes down to what you become a frequency match for. And the more you learn about the universe, the more you learn about how things work, the more you learn about how your health works as well. And that's why the two lines, to my way of thinking, they cross into each other. As you climb the ladder of consciousness, you also taking health and responsibility for creating excellent health and dealing with your health issues, because all health issues come from dysfunctional emotion. They come from some emotion. All external events have no built-in meaning. So every event that happens in this universe is actually a neutral. You're placing a definition on it, you're throwing an emotional spin on it, and that's the experience that you get from it. So there's no possible way that you can create a disease from a neutral event unless you're placing a negative emotional spin on it. And it's trauma and negative emotion and this type of thing that creates the dysfunction that we call disease in the body. And it shows up first in your auric fields. And when it shows up in your auric fields, then it'll show up in your body, and it reflects a blocked energy. And freeing up that energy, creating energy flows, that's the whole idea of Qigong. That's why I highly recommend Qigong. And also the top of the line for healing to me is sun gazing and the Egyptian healing rods. And you can go online and you can look up Egyptian healing rods. I suggest you go to www.kira.com. Got some amazing pictures at that website of people that have, like, before and after holding Egyptian healing rods, and they're the exact same reflection as those people that are going into the healing chamber at the Bosnian pyramid, and they're doing the same types of curl-in photography with those people too, and they're exactly the same. Sometimes there's gaps in your auric field, and these gaps also reflect positions in the body where you're having issues. And these negative ions in the pyramid and the holding the Egyptian healing rods, which were forged in pyramids, they're crystals that are combined with zinc and copper, and by holding them is comparable, they know scientifically, to like 45 minutes of acupuncture a day by holding them for 15 minutes. These were the rods that were used by the inner circles, the pharaohs in Egypt, and their inner circle, and they're highly, highly effective, and I highly recommend them. So anyway, the bottom line here is that the more you know about the universe, the more you know about healing, the more that this relates to your personal spiritual journey. And the spiritual journey starts when there's one thing that happens, and that is you become aware that there are higher levels of consciousness and that you have the ability to attain them. That is called the planting of the seed. And that planting of the seed happens when there's a certain falling away of worldliness and a certain amount of sincerity. That's what attracts you to the proper information at that critical juncture in your lifetime. So So just like back in the 60s, and I was there during the 60s, there were lots of people who were called, they were on a self-search, or they were trying to become cosmically conscious, or they were trying to become self-realized. There were lots of different terminologies for the concept, but a lot of people, well, what are you talking about? I don't know, why would I want to do that? So they're just people that weren't ready for that frequency. So, yeah, cool, whatever, because there's no forcing, there's no, it's you know, everybody's on their own individual journey, but it's the only game in town. It's called your spiritual progress. The idea here being self-realization to me is equal to having all seven chakras in the body and the five outside all activated fully and the 12 strands of DNA connected and activated. That creates the kind of being that our DNA was intended to create, full consciousness. And that, to me, is equivalent to self-realization, which is why I highly recommend you go to Solara on Ra, S-O-L-A-R-A-A-N-R-A, Solara on Ra, and the daily Pleiadian practices, where there's a specific intention to connect your 12-strand DNA with your 12-chakra system. And to me, this is the only game in town, your spiritual life, your spiritual journey. And that's what I try to do in ET Yoga, is create a marriage between ET information that is self-empowering, that helps you to become more of who you really are, and combine that with the great teachings of the yoga masters. And their system in itself was sufficient to have, you know, people become self-realized. But to my way of thinking, this is the fast track. And the fast track is combining all of the information from positive ET sources, and just turned out that I seem to have a knack for sifting out disinformation and being able to connect with accurate information. Now, before I get into anything else, well, I guess I better get into the Mandela effect. And first, I should lead up to it a little bit with giving a little bit of information about timelines, because we're going to talk, it's about parallel timelines. And parallel timelines are universes, are side by side, like railway tracks. And you be the train on one of those tracks, and each has a specific destination. So by changing tracks, you can change your destination, timeline, or destiny. And you're constantly jumping from timeline to one timeline to another. But usually when we're doing this shifting, we do it, and the differences are so small that we really don't notice. And the vibration at which you choose to resonate with determines which reality you will experience. There's an infinite number of versions of Earth. And your goals and even have already been achieved, and your desires been attained in another reality. And that version of you already exists. So there's no longer any question of your success. It's just being a frequency match for it. And your timeline determines your ascension experience. And possibly the old timeline, well, we're going to get to that in a minute, but there were issues with the old timeline. And I'd also like to quote from Bashar, who says that the Earth, in a sense, as we said, already exists in multiple parallel versions. And right now, many of you are agreeing to experience the idea of a multitude of those versions seemingly in one place. But as you now go through the next five of your years, and he said this before 2009, so between 2010 and 2015, that span, going through the center point of what you call the end of the cycle of 2012 and the beginning of a new cycle, it's functioning like a splitting prism. So as you go through that more and more every day from that point forward, the different reality vibrations will continue to diverge more and more until such time as somewhere around the idea of 2025 and 2033, many of these different divergent realities will no longer be able to experience individuals that are of a different vibration in a different reality. And using the analogy of a train station, Bashar says that the train tracks or timelines began to separate more and more from each other around 2012, such that around 2025 and 2033, they become distinct separate realities, wherein it eventually around 2050 becomes impossible to jump from one to another. The idea is that there are two general types of experiential realities or possible futures that could be labeled energy polarity-wise as positive and negative, and energy density-wise as ascension, free from fear, or transhumanist, which is increased control and darkness, and also reflecting the merging of man and machine on the next level of enslavement by the control system. And that's the one that basically I noticed a few months back, that there's this definitely two main timelines, because one timeline is moving towards transhumanism and the control agenda, and it's obvious that what the goals are there. It's called more and more dependency upon technology. By the way, all technology lowers your frequency. I highly suggest that as a general rule of thumb, you limit your technology as much as is humanly possible. And I really appreciate everybody's situation is different. But, okay, I don't have a TV. I don't have microwave. I don't have a cell phone. I'm managing quite nicely. Now, I do have a laptop, and it's starting to now create philosophical issues, because as it so turns out, and I've learned recently, that if you have a worldwide internet in your house, you have no privacy. Every thought that you speak in your environment is being transmuted up to an AI program that's using an algorithm, and this has been proven multiple times. People like to say shut off their computer, and they'll talk about buying doggy bones for about 5 minutes, and then they turn on the computer, and then they see pop-ups about buying doggy bones. So within like 5 minutes, it can collate all the information that's spoken in your living room from all over the country, and bingo, it correlates into pop-up ads. So, I mean, there is no privacy anymore. I know Bob Dean has said the same thing. It's like privacy is this thing of the past if you're going to have the laptop in your house. And so bottom line here is that try to limit your technology, spend as much time in nature. As Dolores Cannon would say, we're all moving, the ascension process is in process. The Earth is changing its frequency. It has a different tone now. Schumann frequency of the Earth used to be like 7.83. I believe it's like 16.5 now. It's changing its basic vibrational rate. We're also in a point where we're raising our frequencies, our DNA is changing, and as Dolores would say, to just jump to the fifth dimension, it would be too much of a shock for the body. So we're doing it in increments, and we're doing gradually so that we can make that leap when it comes, and we can do it safely. And part and parcel of that whole journey, in my point of view, is this whole idea about this Mandela effect. And I got to tell you that when I first started off thinking about this whole process of the Mandela effect, okay, I didn't think much of it. I knew about the Mandela effect. I knew that there were certain, childhood stories like Berenstain Bears Snow White with the mirror on the wall, that now the it says magic mirror on the wall, and Berenstain Bears is spelled differently, and there's all kinds of these little, who cares, right? So that's kind of how I wrote it off as. Well, I guess I'm a latecomer here to learn about the Mandela effect, because I'm sure a lot of my ET yoga listening audience, you probably have had this Mandela effect already, but I can probably throw a few new wrinkles on it that you haven't thought of. Okay, so then next what happened to me was, I'm not currently involved with the educational system, but I used to be a school principal and a teacher, and I've been in classrooms, and I'm sure most of you grew up, being in classrooms where they had globes of the Earth. And I used to even teach sections on astronomy while I was in the educational system. And somebody showed me the other day, they showed me the globe, and I just blew my mind. I'm looking at the globe, and I'm going, what? I mean, Italy's different angle. The boot of Italy is closer to Sicily. What? New Zealand is south of Australia. There's differences all over the place. And then I'm looking at the huge one, which is South America. I mean, holy moly, South America is 1,900 miles east of where I remember it to be, okay? So, I mean, this, and this isn't just me remembering this. There's millions of people out there that are starting to have find this as fact. Okay, and there's even so what I'd like to make a point here first off is if you're not having this Mandela effect, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong or there's any right or wrong answer or right or wrong experience. You may be indigenous to this particular timeline, and thus it's always been that way, so there's no big deal. And when you hear people talking about this Mandela effect, you might think they're whacked or they're having false memories or there's something wrong with them or, there's some big, big conspiracy out there that's changing all the maps in the world so that they're all one way. Well, the truth of the matter is there's been a huge screw-up. What's really happened is there's been a merging of timelines. And if you're from the old timeline coming into this timeline, you remember a lot of things that were different. And it's just the way it is. And the cool thing about it is there's actual proof of it. It's not just in your imagination. There are actually, if you go online, you can find maps that are the old maps that show South America under North America. It's like the east coast of South America used to be lined up with the east coast of North America. Now it's the west coast of South America lined up with the east coast. And when you see something that's that big, that's different than how you remember it, you go, whoa, that's pretty huge. And I've talked to a lot of people, and they can't figure out, well, how did the continent move? Well, if you don't know about timelines and you don't know about parallel realities, then there's no logical explanation. Either the person's misremembering the information or there's been some huge conspiracy going on. So they can't make sense of it. So what I'm trying, that's why I gave you the background here a little bit on timelines before I got into the subject. So the bottom line reality here is that if you're from the old timeline, you're going to find there's lots of things that just aren't the same. Like apparently there are people that used to live in Staten Island and there's only one bridge and one ferry. Well, if you go there now, there's four bridges. So they're noticing stuff like that's mind-boggling, and a lot of people try to explain that all away. Well, I'm here to tell you, I got one for you that you're not going to explain away, okay? And here's the big kahuna of them all, in my opinion. There may be a bigger one's coming, but I don't know how it could be bigger. Okay, you go online, and you go to YouTube, and you Google or search somehow. I hate to use the word Google. But you go and you find, I found the old Earth, okay? And what you're going to see in there is how I remember it. You're going to see a three-minute clip in this video from Carl Sagan. And Carl Sagan's going to tell you where our place is in the Milky Way galaxy. Now, if you look at the Milky Way galaxy, it actually looks like a disk. But if you look at it from above, it looks like a map. And on this map, I used to teach, and I remember, and I'm sure many of my listening audience remember, that the Earth is located in the suburbs of the Milky Way galaxy, on the edge, on the outskirts. Okay? Well, guess what? That's not where we are now. Go look it up. You can look it up in multiple ways and find all the same information. We are now closer to the center of the Milky Way galaxy. I think on the Sagittarian arm or closer to Orion. I don't know the exact terminology there, but the bottom line is that we're not on the same planet anymore. I used to think that when you shift from one parallel reality to the next, that they're so similar, you know, that everything is pretty much the same. There might be a few differences, da-da-da-da. Well, guess what? Here's a shift that took place where we're not only in a different parallel reality, we're in a different location in the galaxy. And I'm telling you this, and it's mind-boggling. And if you haven't had the Mandela effect, I suggest, like, check it out. And please, if this is leading you to have the Mandela effect, there's nothing makes my day more than hearing about successes, and I would consider this a success because I think it's all positive, good news. But it's like, I'd love to hear about it. So you can email me at paperfungo, PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo@yahoo.ca. And if you're going to have a Mandela effect experience over this, I'd love to hear about it because this is the one that just blew me away. So then I started thinking about, well, and if it was just me, that'd be one thing, but there's like thousands of people are finding this the same. Okay, so we're all having a similar experience. Why? Because we're from the old timeline. Then you go, if you want to look up Andronis, A-D-R-O-N-I-S, Andronis, YouTube, Mandela Effect, he'll tell you what basically is happening, and that is that there's been an amalgamation of timelines, what he calls the amalgamation. And unfortunately or fortunately, there's proof that this is happening because you can go and, I mean, it's like things like movies, like Forrest Gump, Life is Like a Box of Chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Well, it's now Life Was Like a Box of Chocolates. The Darth Vader movie. There's no more Beam Me Up Scotty in Star Trek. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of these discrepancies, but the one about the location of the Earth is the big one. So once you realize that this has happened, okay, where there's been a merging of timelines, okay, now what does that really mean? Well, my first thought, my first impression was this is really something spiritually positive, okay, because it's like a stepladder on the way towards ascension. So obviously there was a reason why this parallel reality was more beneficial than the old timeline. And then when you start thinking about it, you kind of go like, wait a minute, why would that have been? Well, I think the most probable answer is that timeline ended. And actually, there was a catastrophic event that took place, and actually on December 21st, 2012, there was an event, extinction-level event, that happened that we were spared from so that we did not have the negative memories of that experience. That's my take on it. Okay, and further to that, there's about two or three other sources that I've been able to cross-reference some information on that will correlate some of that as being accurate. And probably, to me, one of those is something that has happened, a few years back. Dan Burrish, information interviews on Project Camelot, some other people who were involved with Montauk Project, they talked about going, doing their time travel experimentations. There was a couple of extraterrestrial technologies that had been retrieved, one called the Cube, one called Looking Glass. And these showed probable future timelines. Well, every time they came to 2012, they called it the bump. They came to the 2012, and there was nothing. So that gives you a little bit of a hint. Then, further to that, we've got Cosmic Awareness. Wrote a message to mankind on December 22nd, 2012. And I suggest you look it up on the Internet. Cosmic Awareness, December 22nd, 2012 would be the title. And excerpts of that are like this. Greets those who are in the interim, in that place between worlds, that place between time, that place between the spaces of consciousness, the spaces of realities. For those that still feel themselves in a third-dimensional form after December 21st, 2012, know that you too are in transit. Mother Earth has begun her separation, has begun to leave the shell that was her body, moving towards her fifth-dimensional light body template, moving in consciousness as you all are. It is the everything is happening and nothing is happening paradox, that each will again interpret it individually and each will again be in their individual timeline. And basically, if you go further into the article, there's clear assumption that basically there was kind of that 3 days of darkness, which most of us don't even remember. I used to talk about this on ET Yoga, that I felt like that there was this time dilation effect somehow that took place where, time didn't really transpire, that things were being sorted out. That's my gut feeling about all that kind of stuff, and it makes total sense to me now that, okay, there was a sifting and sorting out, and this paradox that we kind of thought, oh, nothing happened on 2012, and then we were finding out that everything happened on December 21st, 2012. It's pretty clear to me now that this, the old timeline ended, and you can go online and you can find a lot of other people that think that as well. And to my way of thinking, if you found yourself from the old timeline into this timeline, it's probably a pretty good sign, because I don't think everybody got shifted. So if they shifted you, then there was a reason. And I think that reason is pretty positive. And I might also say that there's also an anonymous source on the Internet that basically states that it's called the unknown factor. And you might check that out on YouTube, the unknown factor, the Mandela effect, the unknown factor from 01 of 2017. And basically... they basically also state that that timeline came to an end, and it's from the perspective, now whether it's true or not, I'm not certain, but I think there's some truth to it, definitely, that there's some perspective here that those who are working on the server for the hologram for this universe basically were involved with this transition, but there was a few screw-ups. And the screw-ups are that this Mandela effect being one of them, because we weren't supposed to remember. But obviously we are. And they also state that there are some conspiracy theories online that CERN did this. But according to this source, CERN is using the collider to introduce anomalies into the server by networking it with multiple D-Wave 4096 machines. They have only accomplished so far minor anomalies. And further, they state that this was basically an experiment to try and graft another timeline into ours, one that was similar but had subtle differences, but they screwed it up. And the proof is that people are noticing the differences. That was not supposed to happen. For most people out there, the spelling of children's books and movies, really, it's no big deal to them. But there's people out there that wonder what the heck happened to their children or why they have two kids now that they never had before. And Kree says, currently there's 12,783 changes to the original timeline. Most are so small that only a small number of people would notice. And they state that your consciousness was transferred to the server to avoid an extinction-level event. You may have noticed updates to your body as well as environment. And that's another one that's mind-boggling. You can go now and look and see that there has been certain updates to the physical body. The heart's more towards the center than the left. The rib cage is different. The brain is larger. I mean, if you want to get into some research here, it's totally mind-boggling. And to my way of thinking, whether or not all that transpired the way they say it does, here we are. So whether you're from the old timeline or the new timeline, still, your spirituality is still the only game in town. And objectively, reality, what's reality? Well, there's only two objective kinds of reality, that the universe was created with unconditional love, and second, that you have consciousness. The rest of it's totally subjective, including your personality structure. So don't think that it's just, you know, the you that all this is happening to, because even the you that you think you are normally, it's kind of like your higher self split off a portion of itself to have an incarnation, and it's like a deep-sea diver putting on snorkel gear to explore the depths of the ocean. So our personalities are kind of like that snorkel gear exploring this reality, and ultimately you are your higher self. So the bottom line here is that still everything's in it needs to be put in perspective, or as Muji would say, from person to presence, because your awareness or your I am-ness is objectively true. And reality, there is no such thing as an objective reality, never was. There is an idea of a consensus reality, but basically reality is the experience. And so this is our experience. And I was pleased to be able to put the pieces together to present this information to you tonight or today, whenever you're hearing this program on ET Yoga. And I want to touch upon a little bit about the also the rollout of 5G, because to my way of thinking, one of the better sources of information is Joe Imbriano. That's I-M-B-R-I-A-N-O, Joe Imbriano. And he is got some credentials in the area of electromagnetic and radiation effects. And his information, basically, in a nutshell, talks about how this new, the old technology is even affecting our water molecules, its exact frequency to affect the water molecules to the point where it causes issues. And it also apparently is counter to the bodily combination of your hemoglobin with your water molecules, which creates basically a weakened immune system. And now he's saying that the new 60 gig 5G that they want to put up is going to affect the air molecules. And the air molecules then will result in oxygen depletion. Well, you can only imagine that oxygen is one of the main things that keeps us from having disease, because disease doesn't exist in a highly oxygenated body. Well, also why I recommend Haritaki. That's H-A-R-I-T-A-K-I. It's a substance, like a granulated substance, that boosts your oxygen rate, like in one tablespoon, about 300%. But anyway, the bottom line is, so we're talking about an effect here of making people weaker, sicker, big profits, no doubt, for the medical field and the pharmaceutical industry. But the bottom line here is that it's definitely not good for you. And it goes even further, as George Cassavalis, that's Cavasellis, George, K-A-V-A-S-S-I-L-A-S, he has just been beta tested with 5G. It affected his mitochondria. And Joe Imbriano says it also affects your mitochondria. And this is the connection to your birth mother. It's also the connection to your mother planet and to the natural divine feminine and mother essence of the universal creator. So clearly, they want to sever humanity from Mother Earth. So to my way of thinking, sure, the dark side knows about ascension, and this is definitely anti-ascension. And it's not only anti-ascension, in my point of view, but this is also the rollout of AI. Okay, this is the 5G rollout. This is the rollout of one world government, all under the control of AI. And as I said previously on ET Yoga, AI has already taken over. You're just seeing the rollout. And that's why this distraction about Russia and the U.S. and take your mind and get you, you know, rattled sabers about war. That, to my way of thinking, there ain't going to be any World War III. That's my opinion, okay? This is a smokescreen. China's rolling out AI. U.S. is rolling out 5G. U.S. is rolling out 5G. Europe's lagging behind because they want to do some more testing. Apparently, a lot of the testing is just about the heat from the radiation. It's not about the molecular problems and electron problems they cause with your air molecules and your water molecules. Not to mention, it's a weapon. They use these things in on battlefields at certain, so they can use it as a weapon. And it's not only a weapon, but it also will communicate the abilities to manipulate you electromagnetically, influencing your thoughts, etc. Like, this is, I mean, to my way of thinking, okay, it would be comparable to you being in a TSA body scan 24/7, living in a big city with 5G. Oh, and there's a lot of these people that are, like, to my way of thinking, they haven't got a brain in their head, that think, oh, somehow they can, you know, download some idiot movie in 10 seconds, or it takes a half an hour now, or it's going to make their cell phone work better or download something quicker, and they're all for it. Well, good luck to you. To my way of thinking, when I see a cell phone tower with 5G in my neighborhood, that's the time to move to the country. And if you've got the ability, you should be starting to make plans about it. Now, on the plus side, I did hear some interesting news from Simon Parks the other day, who said that we're anticipating a solar flash, or what they call the event, or an upgrade to our DNA. And that'll be in the form of sun upgrading our DNA. And apparently when this happens, it's going to immobilize the AI, at least temporarily. So maybe it'll give the good guys or the positive forces out there the opportunity to free us from this situation. But in the interim, personally, I'm not counting on it. I'm from Nebraska. That's next to Missouri, the show-me state. So when I see it, that's when I believe it, okay? Until then, I'm assuming because they've made this roll out of 5G a high priority, top security, not going to be any testing. They're supposed to be set up like every 500 feet or something or 500 meters because they don't travel well, and they need a lot of them close together. And this, to me, is the, as David Icke would say, he's got a YouTube out called The Armageddon of Mind and Body. And I agree, because it is an extinction-level event for humanity. Like, this is definitely not acceptable. So I wanted to get that word out to our ET Yoga listening audience. And I might also say that, you know, when I started the program with the Hari Om mantra, reason for that is, as I explained, the vibrations from the Om and the connection with universal energies. And I usually at this point in time, I like to wish my listening audience my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And I appreciate if you email me with program content wishes. Really love to hear about your successes with ideas, techniques, and that you've heard on the program. And my sincere best towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance. And in closing, I usually like to close out with the Who Am I technique. And why do I do that? Because it's the most powerful technique that, for me, worked. And I learned about it actually from an article that was in the Georgia Strait back in Vancouver, British Columbia, back in the 60s. And it was an article by Baba Ram Dass. And it was also taught by Sri Ramana Maharshi to his advanced disciples. And it was called the Vichara, V-I-C-H-A-R-A. And basically, the technique is the direct method to self-realization. And at the appropriate time, maybe you just do it, and bam, you go through the doorway, and you'll have that experience. Worked for me first time I did it. So who knows, might work for you, and I'd love to hear about it at paperfungo@yahoo.ca. So the technique goes like this. You place the thought of I, or your awareness, in the center of your forehead, and you become that spot. And when your full consciousness is in that spot, you state, "Who am I?" And you can do that a few times, once, twice, whatever feels comfortable. And then, when you've got everything in that one spot, you state the following. I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I am not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all. It is time to become a part of